97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Listen as Sharon Hill discusses trending topics in today's business world with entrepreneurs and leaders in the community and what they're doing to provide innovation and guidance for success. Find this and all episodes at WCHL's chapelboro.com. Now, Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thank you for tuning in today. My guest is Mr. Rick Gilbert, author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. Rick, it's an honor to have you here today.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Your title, you're the author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. That's a rather unusual title. Please tell us about it.
The survival part has to do with the fact that in our training with executives of various levels within our corporations we work with, we have found that when they speak to the senior level or the big decision makers up the chain, all the rules are different than when they speak to their own team.
All right.
So you can imagine somebody who has a mid-level position and they might have 30 people in their department, and they go for an offsite, and this person sits on the table and they show PowerPoint slides and they tell stories and it works great. Then a month later, when they go to speak, let's say they're giving their quarterly report and they have the big chiefs around the table,
yes,
and they use those same techniques, it doesn't work. In fact, it can hurt their careers. So that was where the idea of surviving executive presentation. There are a few tips and a few little pieces of advice that executives gave us for survival. And boy, if you know those, it makes a huge difference.
Well, Rick, I don't want to give everything away in your book, but why don't you start by giving, before we even give us some tips, why is it different with the executives?
You know, that question comes up a lot. And I think if you boil it all down, there's so many reasons, but I think if you boil it all down, it comes to one issue, time. People, the higher up you go in these organizations, the more stressed people are, the more meetings they have, the more that's on their calendar, their agendas. And so if we go in there and we want to make friends with them and be buddies and talk about our summer vacation, it's just not their agenda and it's going to hurt our cause. So they're time crunch. And also, when they come into these higher level positions, they're responsible for helping the company, the corporation, whatever it happens to be, make money. And if they don't see how your interview with them, your time with them, is going to help them in their financial success for the company, then they're not interested. So timing and does this help my bottom line? Critical.
How much research did you have to do, Rick, to come up with the information for your book?
This all started about 2001, 2002, when my company, we teach presentation skills, and we were working with a lot of business people. And we found that the advice we were giving to most people, like use stories rather than data and so forth, when people went to speak to the more senior level, all the advice we've been giving people was dead wrong.
Whoa.
And so these people would come with a story and the executives would bang the table and say, I don't have time for this. Get out of here. You know,
right.
Move on. And so we began to think, well, let's find out what reality is really like at the top level.
Yes.
And so I started doing videotaped interviews with CEOs from all different kinds of organizations, high tech, no tech, biotech, even in the public sector. And we just wanted to find out, why is it so demanding, so hard for a speaker in a meeting that you're hosting? Why is that so hard for them? What makes it so different? And really, it was what the executives told us in these interviews that became the essence of the book. So it's not from me. It's from the CEO-level people. We've interviewed around 50 for background in this book, and their insights have just been astounding.
I can believe that. I want to just echo what you've said. Being a former IBMer, whenever I had to speak to an executive, I just had a flashback when you said that, because no matter how many charts we had presented, he would just say, go, 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 go. In other words, don't dwell on the bullets, just go, 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 because as you said, time was critical to him at that time.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
We hear that
gosh.
Story all the time. And it can be very frustrating for the presenter who maybe spent weeks preparing
yes.
this thing.
And nervous.
And if they don't know these tricks that we talk about, if they don't know the realities that we're describing in this book, they can do their career a great deal of damage. Walking in with a whole big armload, a whole bunch of PowerPoint slides.
Yes.
And think you're going to get through those is going to be very frustrating, because not only are the executives pressed for time, they're also extremely smart. And they want to get through this quickly because they have, and just exactly what you said, we hear this all the time. Yeah, next, I got it, I got it.
Right,
come on, let's move on, move
right,
on, I got it, I got it.
Right.
And the poor presenters up there, you know, all confused and fumbling around trying to get their slides.
Yeah.
So what we found most of the executives told us is, in terms of slides, the best slide is no slide. And another person said, the best presentation is no presentation. They're not interested in a monologue by a lower-level person showing 30 PowerPoint slides.
Nope.
What they want is to sit down and have a discussion with an informed person about a potential business opportunity. And it's the discussion part. So when we train people in our approach and people read the book, they begin to realize it's not like I'm going in to talk to my own team where I have a full hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an hour with the executives, you'll plan on 15 minutes
right.
at best.
Right.
They're going to talk the rest of the time.
Right.
And you're not going to need all those slides.
It's all about that bottom line dollar.
It is.
And they're responsible and accountable for so much. They don't have time to waste hearing what you want to say. They want what they want to hear, especially as it affects the dollars.
And if you can learn about that prior to the meeting, you're going to be way ahead of the game. Talk to people who've addressed these executives before. And you'll be able to find, well, this one likes stories, this one wants to get to the point, this one is bottom line numbers oriented.
Yes.
And then you're ready when you go in.
Be prepared. To our audience, you may notice that Rick Gilbert is a different type of interviewee. Rather than having a company, he's here today to tell you who have to deal with executive how to be successful. And it's all in his book, Speaking Up. Having said that, Rick, if someone wanted to get a copy of your book or contact you, what would you tell them?
I have one word, Amazon.
Okay.
It's available on Amazon. And if they want to contact me and ask me any questions, I'm rick@powerspeaking.com, or my phone is 650-222-6380. I'm always eager to talk to people about this topic.
Thank you. Rick, could you repeat your phone number one more time, please?
It's 650-222-6380.
Thank you, Rick. Well, in the 30 seconds we have left for this segment, can you tell us just why you decided to go into this topic? And we can continue with the next segment, but what drove you to do this?
First of all, I like a challenge and a mystery. And it was a mystery to find out what is going on at this top level that makes it so brutal for people under the top people. And then also, it's really a thrill to be able to give people information that makes their jobs easier and their careers more successful.
Perfect. Thank you, Rick. Let's pick it up on the next segment. Let's take a break right now. Is that all right? Thank you. You're listening to WCHL 97.9 FM. My guest today is Mr. Rick Gilbert, who is the author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM. WCHL, Today's Business, focusing on business innovation and success right here in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
Thank you for staying with us. My guest today is Mr. Rick Gilbert, author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. Well, Rick, you've told us why you wrote this book. Why don't you share some tips for people who have to give presentations to executives?
Excellent. And I'd like to add, Sharon, before I start, we're not just talking about corporations here. We're talking about the public sector as well as the private sector. If, for example, you're going in front of the city council or a church group or some educational board or something, the people who are sitting there listening to you are every bit as pressured as the people are who run big corporations. It's just a nonprofit versus profit. But the dynamics at the top are the same.
Perfect. Thank you. Good to know.
So, if I boiled it all down to three things, it goes like this. Number one, and this was the thing that just towered above everything else we heard, get to the point. And we have a little expression we use in the book, first line, bottom line.
Ooh, I like that.
So it's easy to remember. And we had one executive who pulled out his iPhone, held it up, and he said, you know, 5 years ago, these things weren't that good, but now they're so good. You walk into my meeting and I have in front of me the internet, my email, I have movies, I have Oprah, I have Angry Birds, and all of that is more interesting than your slides.
Whoa!
So you have 30 seconds to get my attention, 30 seconds. So you can't go in and talk about the weather and, you know, your kids and summer vacation. It really, they're sitting there saying, okay, why are you here? Let's get right to it. So whatever you want, whatever you're asking for, maybe it's money, financial support, maybe it's headcount, maybe it's equipment. They want to know within the first minute, what are you asking from me? And then you can lay out all of the rationale and the design, you know, why you want it and so forth. But they said, look, we want to be able to follow your logic. So give it to me up front. Don't hold it till the end. So that's point number one, first line, bottom
line. First line, bottom line.
Point number two has to do with visual aids, especially PowerPoint.
Ooh.
You know, we've all heard
death by PowerPoint.
You know, and everybody laughs about it. But, you know, we found in our work, and we've trained about 10,000 people on this technique since we really started doing it. And this whole thing about death by PowerPoint, ha, 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 it is not funny. And we have seen people really hurt their careers because they went in with 30 PowerPoint slides and demanded that the executives listen and watch all those slides, and it just killed them. The executives aren't interested in slides. Maybe one or two, maybe to set the context. And maybe they'll have some that they might ask you to bring up in context. But by and large, you don't think about slides. You think about a conversation. So that's a critical thing about slides. In fact, what we're starting to hear more of recently, and it may be a kind of a pendulum effect where, you know, 10 years ago, having an electronic presentation with PowerPoint was really cool. It made you a tech.
Right.
And now people are just sick of it. And we're hearing people about whiteboards. You know, let's just, you know, work it out on a whiteboard. And, you know, that is more immediate. It's more interactive. So the visual aids can be really critical. And the third point is about improvisation. And here we use a lot of metaphors from jazz. And it's because the executives, the business moves so fast. And you may come in and they'll cut your time right up front.
Right.
Because something else came up, an emergency 5 minutes before you came in. And if we walk in with our 15 slides and, by God, we're going to get through these slides of the earthquake,
every bullet,
fire,
right?
Building burns, and you're going to get my slides.
No. You know?
And that's not going to hurt our – that's not going to help our careers. That's going to hurt us.
Right.
So – what they're asking for is for presenters to be light on their feet. So maybe suddenly in the middle of your talk, they say, oh, well, you know what? Northern European market isn't so important today. What we really want to know is how does this affect Canada or South America?
Yes.
And you need to be able to sort of junk your slides, get rid of them, and go with the flow. So we found that a lot of the metaphors that work are from jazz or stand-up comedy, you know, where you get that sense of being in the moment. An example that I use a lot that came up recently with the 50-year anniversary of the Martin Luther King talk.
Yes.
And not many people knew that, but his talk was in two parts, and the first part had been approved by the Southern Christian leadership, and it was about 7 or 8 minutes. And then Mahalia Jackson, who was sitting 10 feet away from him, yells at him, "Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream."
Yes.
And he then puts his notes aside. You can see it on the videos. And he kind of looks up to the sky, and he's like channeling from the universe. And he just does that entire 7 minutes without notes, and it's just awesome. And it changed the civil rights movement.
Yes.
It changed Lyndon Johnson's ability to get the civil rights passed. And it was huge, but it was all impromptu.
Yes.
It was done on the spot. And so we use examples like this to say to business people, you know, yeah, be prepared. You're not going in there unprepared, but you want to be prepared. But then be ready also to be light on your feet and maybe cut your time, bring up different topics. Even, as one executive called it, be ready for what we call graceful disengagement. So if the thing isn't working, you, rather than trying to stay there and salvage this thing that's going down in flames, is you say, you know what? Why don't I get this information that I need and I'll come back next week?
Yes.
And so that's graceful disengagement. So there has to be this really light, impromptu, improv kind of thing about it. So, summary, three things. Get to the point right away. Don't depend on PowerPoint, and be light on your feet. Be a jazz player.
I love it.
You know?
I love it. Let me just tell our audience, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Mr. Rick Gilbert, who is the author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. And he's just given three amazing tips to help you get through, whether it's a corporation, as he said, a nonprofit. Regardless, if you ever talk to an executive, please remember these three tips. You can also get them in his book, Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations, which is available on Amazon, I understand. Rick, what about techies? When you describe being nimble, in my IBM experience, I find a lot of extroverts, Toastmasters, people who are used to talking, can be this nimble. Do you find the same with technical people who just stick with the facts?
Good question. Yeah, and you're right. I think a lot of the people in sales and marketing live in a world where they're a little more comfortable with that kind of change up, and they're more comfortable in front of groups and so forth. And so for technical people, it is a challenge. But when they go through this program and practice this and see it on video and get some coaching and stuff, they're very bright people and they're able to make these changes as well. It's just that they have to get the permission to do it. Let me give you a quick example.
Okay.
We worked with a biotech company and we found that the technical people weren't getting what they wanted from management because they always did their presentations like a technical journal article.
Right.
You know, here's the history.
Right.
This is the problem. This
right.
is the technique we use. Here are the statistics
right.
and blah, blah, blah. And then it takes them 20 minutes to get to the point. And so it's like you imagine a pyramid, you know, and the pyramid's
right.
sort of upside down.
Right.
So we
right.
had them flip the pyramid right side up
right.
and start with the end. This is what we found. And then if you have time, go into the other stuff. And they said immediately they were starting to get yes from the executives.
Exactly. And let's go into some more of those tips in our final segment because this is brilliant stuff, Rick. Thank you so much. You're listening to WCHL 97.9. My guest today is Mr. Rick Gilbert, who is the author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. You don't want to miss the rest of this presentation. Please stand by. We'll be right back.
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Today's Business, focusing on business innovation and success right here in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
Thank you for staying with us. My guest today is Mr. Rick Gilbert, who is the author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. Rick, I understand at the end of your wonderful book, you talk about executives' lives. Why is that pertinent?
I think that it's helpful if we understand that the people we're presenting to, the people who seem to have so much power, they're humans just like we are, and they've struggled to get where they are. So I went back to the executives, 11 of them actually, and interviewed them in depth on video about their lives. Where'd they come from? What did their parents do? What kind of struggles did they have? Who were their mentors? What kind of legacy do they want to leave? The idea being, if you're presenting to one of these folks and you realize that they had struggles getting to where they are as well, then that's going to give you a little more empathy for the situation that they're in. And I think it builds a bond. And of course, what we're trying to do is get a collaborative relationship, not a confrontational relationship.
Perfect.
So I would ask people, for example, about their mentors. And believe it or not, almost always it was not a family member. It wasn't a father or mother. It was somebody else in the community who knew the person and could see in them something they couldn't see in themselves. And that's what got them into graduate school, let's say. That's what led them into becoming CEOs because they suddenly had that power and that self-confidence. In fact, some of them, as they recalled their relationship with their mentors, got all choked up in the interviews because it meant
Whoa.
So much to them. And, you know, if you look back on your own life, and I think most of us have had mentors along the way, teachers, leaders, you know, an aunt or an uncle, somebody who just believed in us. And that was true for these execs, too. And it was very, very powerful.
And that controls how they handle their meetings in terms of time and what's important. Focus, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. One executive I talked to from Hewlett-Packard, he said Bill Hewlett came by his desk when he was a 25-year-old engineer just starting out and talked to him for 20 minutes about what he liked about the company and why did he join Hewlett-Packard. And he then became a CEO himself. And he said he always did that. He
See?
Went around and met with people and asked them for why were they there? What did it mean to them? So these people we meet early in our lives can shape how we develop as adults.
Yes.
Very powerful.
I imagine too, Rick, wouldn't you have to be thick-skinned if you go into a presentation and feel you bombed because the executive rushed you or cut your time or you couldn't get through as fast or you just felt bad when you left? What would you say about having a thick skin when you go into these presentations?
That's so important. And one of the themes that comes through in the book is that no matter how bad it seems, it's not about you. And so you'll have another chance later. So there's a quote in our book that I'd like to end with because I think it is so elegant. This is from a fairly highly placed sales executive at Oracle. And this kind of summarizes it all. He says, "Don't make yourself the lead actor in this play. You're not. Go in there quickly and concisely, deliver the information, answer the questions, survive it, and get out."
And get out. Rick, I have to tell you, I hate that our time is up because this has been an amazing discussion. You've taught me so much. You've taught our audience so much. One more time, please give us your contact information in case someone wants to follow up with you.
On the internet, it's rick@powerspeaking.com. And then my phone is 650-222-6380.
And I understand you're available all the time if anybody wants to call you.
Well.
Except at 3 a.m.
Except at 3 a.m.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. It's been
my
a pleasure.
My pleasure, Rick. Just thank you again so much. You've been listening to WCHL 97.9. My guest today has been Mr. Rick Gilbert, author of Speaking Up, Surviving Executive Presentations. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening.